Chapter 2. The Second Victim. I looked quickly at Bess and George before we all took off, jogging down the street and in the direction of whoever had screamed. We made it to the museum before I realized that Riley had tagged along as well. We weren't the only ones to hear the scream and wonder what was happening. A few people who appeared as though they had been walking past the museum had stopped to check on the sudden sound. There was also a park nearby, and I could see a few people lifting up the hoods of their raincoats or readjusting their umbrellas so they could see what was happening as they walked through. There were two women standing on the museum's front steps. One of them looked as though she was maybe a year or two older than me. She had light brown hair that was parted in the middle and hung straight down. Her hand was covering her mouth and she was crying. It must have been she who had screamed. I watched as she began gesturing at anyone who was nearby. "You have to listen to me," she kept calling out. "Please, I need help." The second woman on the museum steps looked as though she was trying to calm the girl down, or at least move her back inside. This woman was thin, with short white hair and hunched shoulders. She was wearing a navy blue blazer, and pinned to it was a name tag. I had to assume she worked for the museum. Nearly everyone who had been in listening distance made their way over, and soon the two women were surrounded by a small crowd of people. The girl started motioning back through the open door of the museum, though it wasn't immediately clear why. I left Bess, George, and Riley behind and edged my way to the front of the crowd. "Come here, dear," the older woman said. "Let's move over this way." The crying girl wouldn't budge, and more people were gathering around her. "What's happening?" someone from the crowd asked her. This question had clearly been what the girl was waiting for. She began speaking loudly, addressing the crowd. "My boyfriend," she began. "He's missing. He's trapped in there."
"Trapped in the museum?" said someone else. "What do you mean?"
If the girl had been nearly hysterical before, now she seemed to be determined and almost calm.
"We were visiting the museum last night," she said. "My boyfriend and I. But then he just disappeared. I thought that maybe he was just going to meet me back at our hotel or something, but he never showed. So I came back to the museum this morning to look for him, and I found him. It's the same thing that happened to that other girl last week. They're both trapped inside the exhibit, inside the photographs."
There was a mix of different reactions throughout the crowd. One woman laughed, clearly thinking this was a joke. Some gasped, while others just looked confused. But the woman who worked at the museum didn't look surprised at all. Instead, she looked worried. The crying girl continued.
"It's the curse," she said,
this time looking around at everyone gathered in the crowd.
"Terry Lawrence cursed these photographs, and they're going to keep taking people until the exhibit is shut down."
The museum worker stepped forward, waving her hands in front of herself as if she were trying to quiet the girl down.
"No, no," she said.
Her voice sounded a bit wheezy and strained.
"We aren't shutting down, and there is no curse. Absolutely no such thing as a curse. Someone is just tampering with my exhibit."
The crying girl looked as though she was about to respond to this when a police officer began making his way through the crowd. He was a short man with heavy...